Previously on City of Dana.
Why would Sarai be levying charges against you, of all people, Tuckerson, the day before our family's trial?
Don't go.
As if I've never overcome the charges of the Council of Pathetiques. Onwards, onwards. Come, gentlemen. I choose to go.
Today, on City of Dana. In Sarai's first act as Arbiter, she has decided to place Tuckerson, her former mentor, on trial. I'm Jordan Paul Sullivan, creative director for Lantern Theatre's City of Dana series. In this final episode of The Foxes, we'll see if Tuckerson's rhetorical methods will be enough to defend him against the Council's charges, sedition, impiety, and misleading the youth. After Sarai's revelation in the park, the young gambling addict feels a renewed calling to atone for her sins, and more importantly, for the sins of her city, and she's prepared to risk everything. Her wealth, her farm, even her life.
Part 3. The Apology of Tuckerson. Episode 1. The Council Chamber. Tuckerson faces the audience.
How you've been affected, O men of Dana, by the words of my accusers, I cannot tell. But I've forgotten who I am, because of how persuasive their words have been, even though not a word they've spoken has been the truth.
Face the council when you speak, Tuckerson.
I'll face the jury.
We are the jury.
I'll face my peers.
There's only defendants in that direction.
Tuckerson continues to face the audience.
Although a wise man once said, Socrates himself, if I'm not mistaken, that a man who represents himself in court has a fool for a client, it is, on the contrary, my own belief that even if my words be not as impressive or polished as those of my accusers, the truth, even if it is plainly spoken, will make itself known to all those who are willing to listen for it. I, Tuckerson John Philip Tyson IV, am a man of the street, who spends more time on the wharf than he does here, in a courtroom. If I am unable to speak in the jargon of the court, and I prefer to speak as a man who holds most of his conversations in the harbor or the market, I hope those who are listening, including the council, might not hold that lack of sophistication against me. I'll begin my defense, first by recounting all three of the charges that have been leveled against me, as if I'm reading the affidavit.
We just went over your charges.
We can silence him and begin sentencing. Whenever.
I've a bet. I can't interfere now.
A bet? On what?
Do you see my hands shaking?
The charges that this council has set against me and my colleagues at the Fox Den are three. Impiety, misleading the youth, and sedition. I will begin with my proof against the first charge listed, and proceed sequentially from there to the second and then the third. It may appear that I am starting with the most nonsensical accusation and proceeding to the less unreasonable as part of my strategy, but I ask you to lay your suspicions aside, for I am telling you, this is not the case.
On with it, man.
The first charge, impiety. What could that possibly mean? According to Webster's dictionary,
this court does not recognize the aesthetic nature of languages as connoted by dictionaries.
Yes, mutability. That's the name of the game. Dare I ask that you define impiety in your own words?
Here's a question for you, Sarai Garud. Could a man who has never known darkness define light?
I suppose he wouldn't be able to define light if he'd only known light.
Then, Could a man with impious words define impiety?
Anything is better than a dictionary.
The council will make a note that your words may not be accurate, since your words are suspected of being impious.
Impiety, showing an inappropriate casualness towards matters of the gods. Exhibiting undue levity when discussing the gods in front of those who insist that the gods be paid reverence. But this council, I must ask, when it comes to such matters, is there a member within the dais who believes in God?
We believe in the gods we represent.
The raped, the persecuted, the trod upon. Once a white woman named Patricia, but no longer a white woman named Patricia.
We believe in possibilities. What could have been?
Oh, the pathetic creature.
Once a hand who went by Zor, but no longer a hand who goes by Zor.
I believe in all three goddesses.
You must believe in the god you represent, the basest of the base.
I will not entertain false idols.
There are the traditional gods. There are the local gods. Some have their individual gods. And still, there are the newer breeds of gods. If one god tells you to reach for the heavens to pay respect to the sky, and then another god tells you to press your nose against the ground to pay respect to the earth, whose right is it to tell you which position is the more pious? I spend my days with my face pressed against the dirt, and you tell me I'm irreverent because I won't reach for the air. The council would have me pay reverence to their gods, the airy gods, which cannot be gods since they are not grounded. The Christian God has his roots in charity, the Hebrew God in wrath, the Islamic God in mercy. Your gods cling to justice, which lifts upon the air. I don't reach for the air. I must be impious. Anyone who believes that there are merits to this first charge against me must be grabbing for the air as well.
Do you rest your case on the first charge?
I've said enough.
Pray make your defense against the second charge more efficient. I'm hungry.
We are not required to sit through this.
I want to hear what he has to say.
Well, Arbiter, I find the phrasing of your second charge confusing, that I corrupt the young. Do you mean the young who follow me around of their own free will? The young take pleasure in hearing me question men who believe they have some knowledge. Then, in their attempts to do themselves what they've seen me do, they've begun to question these men as well. The young inquire about such things as why we've been told that the clouds are made of water.
This is what we mean by corruption, that you are a wellspring of false wisdom. There will be no idol worship in this city, not as long as I'm arbiter. You've misled hundreds of youths. You've even led some to believe that right and wrong, good and evil, were a matter of perspective. I was such a youth myself.
If we're to define corruption, then perhaps we should first attempt to come to a consensus upon what it is not. Surely you know, Sarai Garud, that which is the opposite of corruption.
Purity.
What do you know of the pure?
Very little. I've only known a madman who harbored a nasty vendetta against pigs, domesticated and wild. He seemed pure.
So you admit you know little about purity. Whose job is it to educate the young and ensure that they remain uncorrupted in their acquisition of knowledge?
This is the council's responsibility.
Not that of the parents?
The parents cannot be trusted. This has been established.
Would you agree that it would be best for the purity of young minds if they were instructed by a teacher whose mind was pure?
I'd have to agree.
And yet you just admitted, Sarai, that you know little of the pure, and you're this council's arbiter. How can the council ensure that the minds of the young are kept from corruption if the minds of the council cannot be said to be pure?
I'll concede you've a point, but it's you that has misled so many youths. And this is the truth. Is there more than one truth? I'd say there is only one truth.
If I corrupt the young to be better, then how is that corruption? I know little. And unlike these other men who claim to be pure, I admit I know little. But I'm willing to ask questions. This city is like a horse. A horse that must keep running to stay alive. What spurs the city to run forth and remain a functional whole because of its moving parts? Is it the truth the city chases? Or do we run to an agreed-upon fable? I am a man of truth, and so I believe the answer is the truth. The citizens are the gadfly on the horse's rump, the one that bites down and stings the city into motion. I, Tuckerson, am the most colored part, the portion that inserts deep into the rump. The horse doesn't appreciate my position, because it only knows that I am completely inside the rump. The city only knows the pain, not that I am the truth keeping the city alive. I ask questions, but I only ask those that are best for the city. I rest my defense on the second charge, and as to my defense against your third, that of sedition, there's ambiguity as to what the charge is I'm opposing. Perhaps what the arbiter is referring to is how I instructed an aspiring arbiter to leverage the authority of the city's courts to her family's own financial advantage.
I'll admit it. I lied to get on this council, and did so to protect my family's fortunes. It wasn't right, but it wasn't wrong, for nothing in this city can be said to be either. And now, before the council votes on my punishment and demands perhaps my own life, I hereby resign.
You feigned to be pathetic to gain entry onto this council.
That's strictly forbidden.
The penalty is death.
I think that's a bit harsh. We don't want to set a precedent of being overly harsh. I say we give her a firm rebuke and demand she never ever do this again.
We don't want to set a precedent of being overly harsh.
The penalty is death.
We'll vote. Those in favor of a firm scolding.
All but the schismed raise their hands.
You're a bad girl. Don't ever do that again. The punishment is fully filled. And let's take a note. The precedent of punishing those who dare infiltrate the council has been established. Nobody else sneak onto our council or you will get just as nasty a scolding. Do you hear? And on to the business at hand. Tuckerson, John Philip, what have you, the fourth? You're senatusing.
Tuckerson, you've taken advantage of hundreds of youths.
And his penalty for such transgressions, what will it be? Death.
And in my country, Israel, if you steal, you have your hands cut off. If you cheat on wife, the gatib. If you run from the police, the feet.
What would we do with a man who's taken advantage of hundreds of youths?
He should be taken advantage of 99 times. Do we all agree on this punishment? Raise your hands for yes.
All raise their hands.
I'd like to cite the case of the Hen versus Arbiter Patricia Green Atwood to invoke an emergency petition to be admitted as this council's new arbiter.
I thought you said he was unfamiliar with the language of the court.
If I'm to be violated 99 times, then that would make me the most pathetic man in the entire city, would it not?
We would all have to agree with this. You may come back here and petition after your sentence has been consummated.
Sarai Garud versus the Council of Pathetiques. Time is a social construct and thus doesn't exist, but as a crab exists among the clouds. I move to be given the same allowance in the name of fairness and legal consistency. Thus, even now, my claim to be the most pathetic person in the city must stand. And so, I hereby request that I be named arbiter of the Council of Pathetiques. Not tomorrow, nor next month, but at this moment.
I don't see how the Council could contradict any of this reasoning.
We couldn't possibly agree.
The only way to disagree would be to defy the very algebra of his logic.
Then we must defy the algebra.
Those who disagree with algebra.
The schisms. Hand rises up with timidity.
Congratulations, arbiter.
Congratulations, arbiter.
How pathetic a man is in the eyes of other men is merely a construct of the social order. This council previously was in agreement that anything that exists as a social construct only exists as a crab exists among the clouds. Correct?
This we agreed most certainly to be the truth, especially when the constructs reinforce stagnant power structures.
Thus I've proved it.
What has he proved?
This council only exists as a crab exists among the clouds, which aren't made of water.
This I do not concur with, obviously, at all.
None of us agree with this conclusion.
I, Tuckerson, as legal arbiter of the Council of Pathetiques, hereby dissolve this council like a krill floating upon the sky.
The law of this city has been dissolved.
The law is no more.
Enter Thara and Zara.
You did it, Sarai! The farm, the fortune, our reputation in this city? It's all been saved!
I bet the farm, Thara.
You did what?
Tell me the dice rolled 18!
I bet the farm that Tuckerson would accuse me of not believing in the gods. He did make that claim.
So you doubled our money! Bless you, Sarai! Tuckerson is a predictable creature, I'll give you this one. Risky to bet everything, sister, but not an unclever wager.
But that wasn't enough, so I doubled down.
You didn't! Oh, God!
I bet that Tuckerson would become the new arbiter.
You should have led with this condition! Sarai, you doubled our fortunes twice? We'll be like the Medicis of Dana. Our status will be felt for centuries!
Then, that still felt like it wasn't enough, Thara. So I tripled down. The condition was an over-under, that Tuckerson would remain arbiter. For more than 1 month. I bet the over.
Oh, God!
Before the dice rolled, I never felt that alive. After the third dice did not show a six, I tell you, sister, I witnessed the goddesses. The estate, the farms, the wealth. It's not life. The farm is death. I find it evil.
Zara drops to her knees.
Oh, God! I've tried, and I've tried, to pull you up, Sarai. I don't know what more I could have done. I'm done. I want nothing more with this family. We have to take care of ourselves now.
Thara! Wait! Thara!
Exit Thara.
Sarai?
You'll thank me someday.
Exit Sarai. Zara, alone, begins weeping. The raped picks up Tuckerson and carries him over his shoulder.
Hey, get your hands off me! I know who you are. I mean, who you really are. Hey, hey, I'm pathetic! Look at how pathetic I am right now! Help me!
Nobody is listening to you.
Exit the raped with Tuckerson.
Episode 2. In the Woods. The Raped
is stripping a protesting Tuckerson of his pants. Enter Sarai, carrying a sword. Sarai stabs the raped, who runs off in a panic and exits. Tuckerson runs away in the opposite direction, with his pants around his ankles. A wild boar enters. Sarai faces down the wild boar, and the wild boar charges her. She is pierced twice by the wild boar's tusks, once in the gut and then again in the rectum. Sarai falls to the floor, bleeding, and the wild boar runs off and exits. Enter Link, who takes out an Erlenmeyer flask of red healing potion.
Drink this potion. It will revitalize you and heal your injuries.
A fountain of blood starts pouring out of Sarai's stomach wound, and Link runs off.
You'll need more of it. I'll fetch a second bottle from my roan horse.
Sarai turns over on her stomach.
Oh, beautiful creator. Your eyes are everywhere. I pray you will lift your charity and carry it across this land, and free men from the money and human dogmas that prevent them from witnessing your glory as they inhabit the earth. Or, better yet, let me live.
A volcano of shit and blood violently erupts from Sarai's rectum. She pulls out a set of 3 marble red dice and rolls them.
1, 1, 4. Nope.
Sarai is back on her feet, grabbing her anus as if it were sore. Sarai appears confused. The wild boar returns and approaches her. Enter Link, who slays the wild boar. Sarai limps over to a log and carefully takes a seat. Link sits down next to her. He pulls an apple from his pocket.
Apple?
Ew.
Ham sandwich?
Yes, please.
Sarai takes a bite, and her eyes light up.
Mmm, this is delicious. Where do you get the bread?
Sarai takes another bite.
You haven't been breeding wild boars out here, have you?
The boars were summoned by the wizard Tuckerson.
What could he be trying to prove with all those boars?
The wizard is trying to resurrect Ganon, the king of evil. He must be destroyed.
In our next adventure.
Sarai rests her head upon Link's shoulder as she takes another bite of her ham sandwich.
Next time on City of Dana.
Alternative sciences?
It's a poor translation. It's science, in essence, with all the Western methods and models and studies, but with Chinese characteristics.
There's only one scientific method. It's not Western, it's just science.
Yes, there is one method, but there are different standards.